10 plagues befall on the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians are punished for all that they have done to the Jews. The Torah is telling us that the fourth of the 10 plagues was called Orev, and this fourth plague was the plague of wild animals. Wild animals started running through the Egyptians' properties, breaking into their houses, raining havoc. The interesting thing is that we see that there are several differences between this fourth plague and the rest. First of all the plagues have been named by what has been done. For example, the first plague was the plague of Nile River turning into blood, and the plague is called dumb. Now, dumb doesn't mean that somebody is stupid. Dumb in Hebrew means blood. The second plague was frogs jumping all over, and the plague is called Tzfardea, which means frogs, and so on. Every plague is called by what was happening. Orev, in Hebrew, means mixture or confusion, mix-up. So the plague, which is number four, the plague of Orev, is not called by what was going on, but the effect of it, by the result of it. Because if this plague would be called by the action that has taken place, the plague should have been like animals, behemoth. But it was not called animals, it was called confusion, mix-up. Why is it? That's a question number one. The question number two is, we see that this is the first plague that Torah specifically mentions the Jews were not affected by. The first three plagues, the Torah tells us that the Egyptians were affected by, but it doesn't say anything about the Jews. As a matter of fact, some commentators say the Jews were affected in some way, in some shape, by the first three plagues. And they explain it by saying that the first three plagues were in order to prove to Egyptians that their idols are powerless. And guess what? The Jews, when they lived in Egypt, they were also bowing down to idols. So if the first three plagues are here to negate the power of the idols, and Jews are bowing down to idols just like Egyptians, then the plagues have to affect the Jews as well. Because if there's a Jew that sees that there is a plague all over Egypt, and this Jew has this idol in his house, the Jew is going to pray to this idol because they were worshiping idols, and then the plague is going to pass the house of the Jew and will not affect him. So the Jew will say, well, this idol saved me. Or even the very fact of having this idol in his house, he might think will protect him somehow. So in other words, these first three plagues had to affect the Jews in some shape. But this fourth plague was not affecting the Jews. It says so specifically in the Torah. Why is it? So here we have to understand, how is this fourth plague different? Whenever you fight a war, each battle and each war is won not so much by the weaponry, by the destruction that you cause to the other side, but by the impression which you leave on the other side. And a big part of every battle is confusion, which you create within your enemy ranks. We know that since the time of immemorial, every war had an element of that. As a matter of fact, do you know that during the Civil War, the Union Army had much more weaponry and much more military resources than the Confederate Army? And Confederate Army was creating fake ammunition images carved out of wood, and they would place them strategically in various places. In one instance, they created a complete fort out of fake cannons, and they were able to keep the Union Army away from this area for 2 months. The Union Army was afraid to attack because they saw these cannons sticking out of the fort, and none of them, not one, were real. During these 2 months, the Confederate Army was able to move somewhere else and do a lot of other things while the Union Army was still sitting by this fort. So confusion is a big part of every battle. And when God was trying to break the will of Egyptians, confusion was a big part of what he was trying to do. This is why there was a plague of Orev, plague of wild animals that were just raining havoc. They were just breaking everything and making the entire Egyptian country confused. We know that it's very important to have order in every life circumstance. In my schedule, I need to have an order. I wake up in the morning, I get up from my bed, and I go to work. Why don't I work straight from my bed? Well, some people do, but most of us don't. Because we need to draw a line between our sleep and our work. We have a line drawn in time, in place. We have different places dedicated for different things, different times dedicated for different things. And this is the only way to run a successful life and to have anything done in your life. If people are sick, they stay in bed all day, and a lot of times they don't know if they're up or they're sleeping, they're somewhere in between. And what happens? They're confused. They cannot be functional because they don't have a clear line between being up and being asleep. So what these animals did, they blurred these lines. People were confused. It says in the commentaries that the Egyptians were more confused from the noise of these animals and the noise of the havoc that they brought onto the land than from the animals themselves. Confusion is caused by blurring the lines and by eliminating borders. So a big part and the main part of the problem of the Jews in Egypt was their assimilation there. Jews were very assimilated in Egypt. What does assimilation mean? Assimilation means blurring lines, blurring the borders between the Jews and everyone else. Jews wanted to be just like everyone else. Jews did not realize that they are different, and they therefore assimilated. That was the whole thing. So that's why the plague that was blurring the lines and erasing borders did not affect the Jews to specifically send a message. The first three plagues were sending a message to the Jews that Egyptian idols are powerless and worthless. The fourth plague was sending a message to the Jews that blurring those lines is not for you. You are different. This is why this was the first plague that completely did not affect the Jews at all, because the point of this plague was to show to the Jews that they are different. They should not assimilate. We now live in the world of confusion. So many people are confused. What does confusion mean? Confusion means blurring the lines. We forget about differences between everything and anything. Between good and bad, right and wrong, men and women, children and adults, between the holy and the unholy, we are blurring those lines, and that creates a great deal of confusion. And therefore, we also live in a world where everybody is trying to be the same. We are trying to claim that there's no differences between people. Well, the idea of this country, the principle upon which this country was built is e pluribus unum, from many one. It is true that we have to be one, but this one has to be made e pluribus, from many. We have to be many. If there's no many among us, then we cannot make one from many. If we don't have differences between us, then there's no point of trying to create unity. Harmony requires having different colors. If I have only one color, if I look at the wall, which is painted with one solid color, can I say that this wall is very harmoniously painted? No, there's no harmony. One color cannot have harmony. The whole point of harmony is to have many different colors. Music can create harmony only if there are many different sounds. If there's one note which is playing continuously, there's no harmony there. This world is made for us to create harmony. In order to have harmony, in order to create harmony, we have to have differences between us. We Jews are different. We Jews are different than everybody else because we recognize we are different. That allows us to then later go ahead and create harmony in the world. Just as a side note, I can say that people generally have two desires which are conflicting with each other. A desire to be accepted, to be like everyone else, to blend into the society, and then a desire to be unique, to be different, to have your own identity. What is the difference between these two desires? Blending in gives us a sense of immediate gratification. If I look like everybody else, I'm right away a part of the larger picture. I blend in. If I want to be unique, that requires an effort. I need to work on my uniqueness. I need to establish my uniqueness. Uniqueness is harder to hold on to. So we live in the world of immediate gratification. Gratification from blending in comes immediately. Gratification from being unique requires to put work into it first, and gratification comes later.